listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's March 26, 2013. I have a special program lined up for you today, so stay with me for the next 25-plus minutes. But first, let me send out some kudos and thanks to neighbors, staff, family, and friends. Being homesick the past few days, I'm getting way behind on all the people that have helped. But thanks, Barb Nichols, for the food and care package. Karen Harrison, appreciate your cooking tips and that great potato salad. Beware, Ron Fernald. Karen put together a pretty awesome combination. Yay to the Berkey team of Dwayne and Muriel, who rescued us yesterday as we were off the air for a little while. Snow was building on the satellite dish, and I guess as it melted, it affected some of our programming. And the only way Dwayne and Muriel could get out to the tower is a neighbor, Jameson Stalter, plowed it out for them. So thanks, Jameson. Speaking of being plowed out, my neighbor Wayne Seifert on his own showed up with his tractor and gear and plowed me out. Of course, I've not left the home for a number of days, but if I want to, I can do it now. And the many other friends and family members that have sent great emails and kind thoughts, special words, and notes of encouragement. Thanks, Pastor Randy Gauger and Pastor Jason Schiffo. I learned of the special radio feature a few days ago called Come to the Cross by Max Licato. He's an author, speaker, and minister, and with this being such a special Holy Week, I've chosen to air this program. So I hope you can stay with me for the next 25 minutes. What held Christ to the cross? Could it have been his love for you? Here's Come to the Cross by Max Licato.
The soldiers bowed before Jesus, making fun of him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on Jesus. They began to beat him on the head. Then they led him away to be crucified.
God is on a cross. The creator of the universe is being executed. Nails didn't hold God to a cross. Love did.
Welcome to this Easter special, Come to the Cross, with author Max Licato. It's often said that Max is a minister who writes and a writer who preaches. And it's Max's desire that you step closer and closer to the cross of Christ. Closer and closer to His grace, more than we deserve, greater than we imagine. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Here's Max Licato.
So excited about the opportunity that we have to talk about what is my favorite topic in my life, and that is grace. The Bible says, be strong in the grace which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then there's another verse that says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Oh, the great grace of God. The New Testament is replete with phrases like we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And no other religion in the history of mankind makes this claim. None other. No other movement implies the living presence of the founder in his followers. Muhammad does not indwell Muslims. Buddha does not inhabit the Hindus. Hugh Hefner does not inhabit the hedonist. Inspire, instruct, enable, yes, but indwell. Now this is going to stretch you, my friend. But we Christians embrace this inscrutable promise that Jesus Christ dwells within us, and that literally His heartbeat, His passion, His love, as we learn to walk in Him and He in us, we get to the point where we might say someday what the Apostle Paul said, hey, it's no longer I who live, but what? But it's Christ who lives inside me. I'm not thinking like I used to think. I'm thinking like He thinks. I'm not acting like I used to act. I'm acting like He acts. He's just commandeering everything in there. And what I used to hate, I now love. The people I used to drive crazy, they like me. Person I couldn't forgive, I'm starting to forgive. Why? Because it just keeps coming. This wave of grace, it just keeps coming. Because you see, grace is what Jesus did, my friend. But it's much more. It's what Jesus does. It's the living, active presence of God inside His followers. You might call this a heart transplant, a spiritual heart transplant. My friends Todd and Tara Storch would understand this illustration more than most of us. A few years ago, they took their family on a ski trip. They were blessed with three children. And in the spring of 2010, they went on a family ski trip to Colorado. And their beautiful daughter, 13-year-old Taylor, died in a tragic accident. And what followed for Tara and her husband Todd was every parent's worst nightmare. They described this on their webpage, taylorsgift.org, if you ever want to see it. It's a remarkable story. By the end of the day, they were planning a funeral. They were making burial arrangements, and they had to make a decision, and they decided to donate their daughter's organs to needy patients. And few people needed a heart more than Patricia Winters did. She lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and her heart had begun to fail 5 years earlier. Taylor's heart literally saved Patricia Winters' life. Through a curious series of events, Todd and Tara learned the whereabouts of their daughter's heart. And as you parents can appreciate, they said, "We'd like to hear our daughter's heartbeat one more time." And they went to Phoenix, Arizona. And in a very poignant moment, Todd and Tara hugged Patricia. Patricia, who is a nurse, had a stethoscope in her house. And Tara put the stethoscope on her ears and placed the stethoscope against Patricia Winter's heart. And she heard her daughter's heartbeat one more time. Let me ask you a question. When she heard the heartbeat, whose heart did she hear? Did she not hear the still beating heart of her child? When God hears your heartbeat, whose heart does He hear? You say, "Maxie, yeah, but all the stuff I do, the attitudes," that's not my question. The promise of grace is a new heart. So, answer the question. When God hears your heart, whose heart does He hear? Does He not hear the still beating heart of Jesus Christ? I'll confess, this stuns me as much as it stuns you. For many years, I embraced all the other prepositions. God was for me. Jesus was with me. The Spirit was near me. God was over me. But God inside me? That when I read about the Jesus in the New Testament who loved the poor with all of His heart, I have the potential of becoming that kind of person that loves the poor with all of His heart. That when I read about the Jesus in the New Testament who cared for the cast out and the put down, I can, with His help, develop into the kind of person who has a heart for the cast out and the put down. That when I read about the patience of Jesus, I can say, "You mean someday there's the potential for Max, who's always in a hurry, always telling everybody to get caught up, there's a potential for him to have the heart of Jesus Christ." This was news to me. I can't blame my deficiency on Scripture. Did you know that the Apostle Paul refers to the union, the indwelling union of Christ in the heart of the believer? Hang on to your hats. He refers to this 216 times. If frequency is a mark of priority, it's like the Apostle Paul wanted all of his readers to get this. That grace is what Jesus did for you, but it's what Jesus does in you. That He has moved in. And He is commandeering more and more and more of your life. John, in his writings, refers to this union 26 times. You see, God's dream is not just to get you to heaven, though that would be enough. That His dream is to get heaven into you. So that everywhere you go and everywhere I go, a semblance of heaven enters the room. And when you walk into a restaurant, it's just like a touch of the kingdom of God has walked into the restaurant. And when you pick up your kids and you hug them tight, it's like, can we say, it's like Jesus is hugging them? Because you have the heart of Christ. And when you go to work, there's something about what's happening in your cubicle that other people notice, because just something about your heart. It's just different. There's a fragrance to you. Not that fragrance, no. But there's something that's happened in you. I'm trying to think what questions you might be asking. Here's the question I would ask. Okay, if I have the heart of Christ, why do I still behave so much like Max? Here's my answer to that. Transplants take time. Don't they? They just take time. They take time. It takes time for the new organ to connect to this new body. But given time, given rehab, given therapy, given exercise, given day after day of learning to connect the new organ to the body that needs it, there is a regular change that happens. That's why I would encourage you, with all that is within me, to believe what God believes about you. That when heaven sees you, my friend, when heaven sees you, heaven does not see what you and I see when we see ourselves. When I see me, I think of all the mistakes I've made, all the thoughts I have I'm so glad no one has heard, the words I've said that I wish I hadn't have said. I just see this mess. But when God sees me, because Jesus is standing up on my behalf right now, He sees the pure heart of Jesus Christ. And since Jesus is beyond accusation, and I have the heart of Jesus, when Satan comes to accuse me in the presence of God, Satan is left speechless. He looks at Lucado and he says, there's nothing in there I can accuse. Because that's not Lucado anymore. That's the living, active presence of Jesus Christ. It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. It's a mystery, though, that can change us. It can soften us. And I think that's why we're called to be strong in the grace which is yours in Christ Jesus. To be strong in it. To ponder it. To live in it. To stand on the beach and just let it slap against you. And then slap against you again. And then slap against you again. And on the days that you think you don't deserve it, oh, you go in for a double slap. But listen to me. On the days you think you do deserve it, you stand there for an hour.
You're listening to an Easter special, Come to the Cross, with author and pastor Max Lucado. Here again is Max.
God in the form of Jesus Christ, this is the heart of the Christian gospel, has chosen to enter this world in the form of a human being, so that if you want to know who God is and how God acts, you look at this person called Jesus Christ. He's the only picture of God ever taken. He entered your world to understand you, to sense you. He went low, low enough to be born to parents who were poor, low enough to be born in a place that had cows and donkeys, low enough to live in a small town in anonymity. Low. He was born low. He went low. He stooped. But then you know what He did? He stood. He stood up on behalf of women like the woman caught in the act of adultery. He stood up on behalf of a tax collector named Matthew that no one else liked. He stood up on behalf of a half-pint swindler named Zacchaeus. He stood up on behalf of people. And then He stood up for the whole human race when He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross and to receive on Himself punishment for all of our sins. And then to be placed in a tomb, low in a tomb, low on a slab of death. And just when no one thought they'd ever see him again, what did he do? Stood up. Stood up. He stood up. He stood right in the devil's face. He stood up and he walked out. And the Christian promise is that he's standing still right now. That right now, in the heart of heaven, you have, listen to this, you have someone standing on your behalf. Isn't it great to have someone stand up for you? Isn't it great when you have a friend say, I'll stand up for you? Isn't it great when you have somebody who will see you being criticized and they'll stand up and they'll go and they'll place themselves in between you and the source of your criticism and say, hey, he doesn't deserve that. That's exactly what Jesus is doing right now. The Bible says, since he will live forever, he will always be there to remind God that he has paid for our sins with his blood. He has placed himself in between you and the devil so that when the accusations come, he says, oh no, this is my child. He places himself there. He is in the presence of God, the Bible says, at this very moment, sticking up for us. And he stays there. He stays there day after day, defending you, forgiving you, loving you. He has promised he's not going to leave. And he has promised that his position there to defend you does not depend upon you. That's why it's called grace. It depends upon his decision to love you. It kind of comes down to this. To grow in the grace of Christ, we come to God with not a heart of stone, but yes, the heart of a sponge. If I were to take this stone and place it in a basin of water and let it sit there, what difference is it going to make on that stone? Most people, that's what they do with God. They let him, I don't know, kind of change their exterior a bit. Maybe just they throw in a religious word every now and then, or they show up in a religious event. But if you were to take that rock and then break it somehow in half with a hammer and look on the inside, would you see a change? It's exactly the same. Hearts can be hard like this. And this heart, hard-hearted, has little grace to give because it's received little grace. But there are other hearts among us, and you're one of them. Yours is the heart of a sponge. I know this because I wash dishes all the time. Well, I did once. What happens when you put a sponge in the same basin of water? What happens? It soaks it up. And when it comes out, guess what it's doing? It's just dripping. What if you and I did this? What if you and I decided every day that we're just going to stand in the presence of God's grace for 10 minutes? Just 10 minutes. You say, how do you do that? Well, you just do it. You just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you love me for a bit. I'm going to let you love me. And you say, Lord, you know, I really screwed up yesterday. Do you still love me? And here comes the wave. Lord, remember those years in my childhood or my adolescence or those early years in my marriage and I was so hard-hearted. Is there any way you can have mercy on me? You serious, Lord? You'd forget. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. And the longer you stand in the grace of God, folks, it's something you receive more than it's something you do. You believe and then you become. And as you become, then you believe more. It's a process. Transplants take time. But in time, longer you're living in the grace of God, guess what? When you see somebody who needs grace, you just kind of go, oh, here. There you go. I got enough for both of us. You're hard to forgive. You know what? I am too. Here, let's enjoy this together. And you become what we can call a grace-shaped person as opposed to a hard-hearted person. Husbands, your wife needs you to do this. Parents, for their sake, the sake of your children, Be strong in this grace. Neighbors, before you criticize your neighbor, be strong in the grace. It changes the way we view others, but most of all, it changes the way we view God. Because at some point, we start to scratch our head and think, He cares that much about me. And it begins to redefine our lives and refine our lives. And so what did Jesus say to the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? He said, "Where are your accusers?" And wouldn't you love to have been there when she looked around and they're not here? And all that was left was Jesus and the woman and all these rocks in the courtyard. Each one a tiny tombstone to someone's pride that had been buried that day. And Jesus says to her, "They're not here. And neither do I condemn you." Right now, receive that message from God. "Neither do I condemn you. Now," He says, "go and sin no more." He didn't say, "Go and sin no more, and then maybe I won't condemn you." He said, "I don't condemn you. And let that grace motivate you to be a new kind of person." And she walked off, and Jesus walked off. And we're still wondering, what did He write in the sand? I think I know. I think He wrote something like, "Grace happened here."
You're listening to an Easter special, Come to the Cross, with author and pastor Max Lucado. Here again is Max.
The Bible says we have been saved by grace through faith. It's not your works, so that no one can boast. And saved by grace through faith. Is this new news to you? It may be. It may be. Maybe you didn't know that the wave would just keep on coming. But it does. Yet even though the wave just keeps on coming, you got to wade into it. You got to enjoy it. You got to receive it. That act is called accepting Christ or trusting Christ. And I want to invite you to accept Christ. Would you like to say yes to Jesus? Would you like to say, "Oh, I didn't know you loved me that much. I trust you. I trust what you've done. I trust your ability to hold on to me. I trust that you will, if I give you my heart, place your heart inside me." Would you like to say yes to Jesus? Or maybe you said yes to Jesus, but you need to, in your heart, just say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this grace." And you need just a reminder of this wave of grace upon grace that comes into your life. Because we can get dry, can't we? We can get hard and crusty. Life can be rough. And you just needed this reminder. And you can say, "Yes, Lord, I receive this grace again." I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And in your heart, step into the presence of the Lord. And for some of you, this will be your first time to receive grace. And if that's you, when you say yes to Jesus, let someone else know. Make sure that you come public with your faith. Just tell them, "This is the greatest day of my life. I've discovered the Pacific Ocean of God's goodness." And you start believing that, believing it. And those of you who are just saying yes again, you can say yes out loud to someone too. By the way you live, by the way you love. By believing there's a new heart inside you. Let's pray together. Oh, bless you, King of Kings, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you. We thank you for this unspeakable gift of grace. What a great idea you had to ravage the world with love and kindness. And to treat us not like our sins deserve, like we deserve to be treated, but to treat us according to your goodness. We say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you did not leave the woman caught in the act of adultery alone. You stood up for her. You haven't left us alone in our sins either. You stand up for us. And we say yes, Lord. We just say yes. Whatever that means, we know we don't know what all the future holds, but if you want this old heart, you can have it. We're glad to receive your heart inside of us. Come, Lord Jesus, come in. Come in. We welcome you. We welcome you. You bought us. You own us. We're yours now, forever. Through Jesus we pray. And all who agreed with this prayer say, and amen.
Ever wonder why there were two crosses next to Christ? Ever wonder why Jesus was in the center? Could it be that the two crosses on the hill symbolize one of God's greatest gifts, the gift of choice? You look back and say, oh, if only I could make up for those bad choices. You can. When one thief on the cross prayed, Jesus loved him enough to save him. When the other mocked, Jesus loved him enough to let him. He allowed him the choice. He does the same for you. Christ took away your sins. He endured not just the nails of the Romans, the mockery of the crowd, and the spear of the soldier, but He endured the anger of God. God didn't just overlook your sins, lest He endorse them, and He didn't punish you, lest He destroy you. Instead, He found a way to punish the sin and preserve the sinner. Jesus took your punishment, and God gave you credit for Jesus' perfection. As long as the cross is God's gift to the world, it will touch you, but it will not change you. Precious as it is to proclaim Christ died for the world, even sweeter it is to whisper, Christ died for me. For my sins He died. He took my place on the cross. He felt my shame. He spoke my name. Thank God for the day Jesus took your place, for the day that grace happened to you.
Thanks for being with us for this Easter special, Come to the Cross, with author and pastor Max Lucado.
Powerful message. What choice will you make today? John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's gift to you, friend, is that gift of eternal life, an everlasting relationship with a God who loves you. If this is a new concept for you, there are trained counselors that would love to walk you through how to have a relationship with Almighty God. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.